All right, it's the national edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, and right across your Sportsnet platforms. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, and Disco Dan Franceschi in for our Sammy McKee. Also on board, Derek Brandeo and Frank the Tank Brasca.
Should we lead it off with the read that we didn't do in the first hour that before we forget Nick Yorkie?
Okay. Will we get in trouble if we don't read it?
I think we have to read it, and we should read it for the good of...
Oh, the answer is yes, we will get in trouble.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I will bear the brunt of it.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Food for Kids time. It's Sportsnet 590 The Fan's 50-50 Fortune supporting Food for Kids, and we are now in the home stretch. So make sure you have entered for your chance to win while making a huge difference. Here's what you need to know. We've created a 50-50 lottery where the more money we raise, the more kids we can feed in the GTA, and the more you can win. The current take-home jackpot, which, by the way, will be announced on Thursday, it's up to $790,000. $790,000. Oh, that's huge. Someone's going to take that home this upcoming Thursday, so continue to jack up that number. Let's get it as high as possible. For more details on how to buy tickets, go to foodforkids5050.ca or text the word cash to 590-590 and we'll send a link directly to your phone. It's the 50-50 Fortune supporting Food for Kids. Standard message and data rates apply.
Beautifully done.
All right, mentioning food the rest of the show because
hungry?
My wife's had me on a cleansing.
Oh, are you really?
Wow. Yes. Have you noticed I haven't had any of your chocolates?
Yeah.
At your desk?
Well, you didn't come in with any sort of muffin or anything today.
Nothing.
You're not eating food today?
Well, no. I'm eating, but I'm off,
the good stuff. At this time of year?
It's horrible.
Why aren't you doing it like the rest of us slobs January 1st?
I'm trying to finish before I get to the really goofy areas, but I was out of control, bud. I was eating anything that wasn't nailed down.
Still doing it, man.
You know?
Stop.
I was like...
I quit anytime I want.
I was like the shark from Jaws when you split his stomach open, like there'd be a license plate coming out and an old running shoe. That was me.
Just a lamb euro.
All right, let's go to a guy who's fit as a fiddle. Still play the game today. Jason York, former NHL defenseman and now co-host of Coming In Hot podcast. What's going on, Yorkie?
Baby, coming in hot, Kipper. You're killed me. You're eating everything. And join the club. I'm eating everything in sight right now, too. It's a bad time of year.
It's a bad time of the year, but it's a good one to be a Ottawa Senator alumni because they're kind of rolling a little bit here. And just kind of the turnaround, Yorkie, and three in a row, four out of five, and with the Rangers kind of slipping. Is there a window right now for the Ottawa Senators?
Tell you what, well, if you're going to point at one thing, Kipper, Linus Ullmark, this guy's been all world. Do you know, so they played in Carolina on, I think it was Friday night. Up until that time, he had never beaten the Carolina Hurricanes. So that's not just with Ottawa, that's with the Boston Bruins. That's throughout his whole career. So something's going on in the water here, Kipper, because this team is playing so much differently. I can't remember the last time they've played this way, and I can't remember the last time because I was at the game on Saturday night against Pittsburgh when they beat the Penguins in overtime. Ullmark got two standing ovations inside the building. I can't remember the last time a goaltender got a standing O in Ottawa. It's been a long time.
Yeah. Well, hey, it makes all the difference. And, like, hate to do this to Sens fans, but, like, this is what it looks like when you get goaltending. Like, the game just, it feels like everyone is playing better when you get a few saves. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I've been watching them. Is it possible that the elite players, the top-end guys on the Sens, have taken a step too? Because watching Stützle right now, there's not many guys who control a game the way he does for me.
Yeah, you're a big Stützle guy, boy.
Big Stützle guy.
Yeah, you know what's funny, and I've kind of been watching him closely. I usually pay more attention to the D, but when you watch Timmy Stützle, he's buying what Travis Green's been selling him since day one. And we all hear the term Turner foot game. He's a Turner foot player. What exactly does it mean? If you watch him on the back check, he's tracking as hard as a fourth liner right now. Because, you know, guys on the fourth line, they don't back check. They're not playing.
Right.
Guys on your first line get away with it sometimes. But on Ottawa, everybody is accountable right now. So they're back pressuring. And Timmy Slitsla, I'll tell you what, guys, he's been one of the hardest working guys on this team. And it shows. Like, you when you watch this guy, he's not going down like he was before because he was getting a little bit of reputation for that. I saw him take a hip check from Radko Gudas. I don't know if you saw that hit against Anaheim about a week ago. Got up, dusted himself off, got right back and started playing. So he's really matured as a player, fellas. And it's not just the offense. It's a 200-foot game.
Stützle, Norris, Tkachuk, Sanderson, they get the headlines a little bit on this hockey club as being faces, but Batherson, the Drake, like I just watching him now, he should be in that mix, for one of the faces.
So I remember last time I was on with you guys, I think we chatted about Batherson a little bit. He's a type of guy, 6'3", sneaky big. You know, certain guys you play with and it looks like they got like flypaper or stick them on their hockey stick. You went, okay, how's that puck like sticking on a stick like that? He just looks like this year he's playing with a ton of confidence. He's strong on pucks. He's physical because when Drake plays physical, he just adds that extra element to his game. But I'm with you, Kipper. He's a guy. Like, you look at his contract, what he's making right now, fellas, I think he's making four and change. He'd be on my, if you're ever considering a trade guy, he's almost an untouchable the way he's playing right now, fellas.
Yeah, I mean, 33 points in 30 games. I think a lot of people don't realize he's up there with, you know, Brady Tkachuk and stats and all that. Yeah. And ask you a bit about Brady. I was looking at the shots of the leaders in Ottawa, and it's like 65, 65, 125 for Brady, 60, like... How does this guy end up with so many shots? He's not a typical hold the puck, ragged, skate around. Is it just constantly getting open in the O zone?
It's like he's in front of the net and he's hitting a pinata. He's getting like five whacks at pucks all
right,
the time.
Maybe that's it.
You remember Big Walt when he played when Keith Tkachuk? Kipper, you played a lot against Tkachuk.
Yeah.
Like, he would stay in that radius, that 5 foot, 10 foot radius in front of the net, and he'll get one, he'll get two, he'll get three whacks. Like, there's not many guys in the league right now, guys, that are 6'3", whatever Brady is, 215, 20, 220. And it's just, he's such a tough guy to move. So once he establishes his spot in front of the net, you're not moving him. And he's scored a few goals. He's getting some more shots from the outside too. Like, he's kind of expanded that range. So he does have the 5 foot, the 3 foot range, but he's also been pretty good from outside too. This team, like, what more can you say? Like, they've had a real nice stretch here. The key is going to be, can they keep it up? They've got, they're going on the road starting tomorrow, and they're on the road right into the beginning of January. So that's going to be the tell for the Ottawa Senators. Can they keep playing like this on the road?
I want to touch on that road trip, and I'll let you in a second, just the blue line here. And if it's settled in at all, Nick Jensen's been, for me, a real pleasant surprise here. But the sense I'm getting, Yorkie, is they're still looking for a defenseman here. They're going to be one of a dozen teams looking to shore up a blue line. And I don't know if that means top four or not, but what have you seen out of that blue line on where they started, where they are now, or where they can get to? What's the ceiling?
So a couple of things, Kipper. So first of all, what I'm seeing, number one, you mentioned the guy right there, Jensen. He's come in and he's allowed Thomas Chabot to go back to playing the way Thomas Chabot. The last time Thomas Chabot played like this was when Dylan DeMello was in town. And that's probably, with all due respect to a lot of these guys that have played with Thomas Chabot since then, Jensen's a real NHL defenseman. He's a legit top four guy. And Chabot hasn't had that type of partner for a long, long time. But Jensen's come in and he's just been, you know, those guys you play with, fellas, are just, they can skate. They just think they're low maintenance. They just do everything right. Not flashy, but that's what Nick Jensen is. And he's been perfect for Chabot. So that pairing's been great. Sanderson's been good. Like, he's taken some heat here and there. But I think with Artem Zuba, the lineup, that's kind of affected him a little bit. So even with a healthy Zub, I still thought these guys are going to look for another defenseman, especially if they're going to stay in this race, which I think they will. But, I think a veteran D doesn't have to be a top four, just somebody that is a legit NHL defenseman. And it wouldn't hurt either if this guy is a guy that plays with a little bit of bite.
Yeah, when I look at this roster and I see, like, I like Sanderson a lot. I think he's a really good player. And I see Hamonic with him. I'm like, ah, man, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't strike me as a team that, like, wins in the playoffs. So when you look at this roster, how serious do you think they are about making a bigger trade, about trying to add someone of significance to it? And where do you think they would look to make that add between the forwards, D, and goaltending?
Well, I think they're happy with their goaltending right now. Forsberg's hurt. I don't know if you guys saw the video of the e-bug coming into the
running up there. The on-ramp there. It was awesome.
coming up from the outlet malls. Like, come on, can somebody not pick this guy up?
I know.
Get a subway system going, for goodness sake.
Get something going, Kipper. Don't get me started on the light rail here, because that ain't working. But I think you guys hit the nail on the head. I think in a perfect world you can get a defenseman, but that's like get in line. Like Kipper, you said it, get in line. Everybody wants a defenseman. If they could somehow get a defenseman, probably another forward that's an NHL type player. And Steve Staios is on the record. If he's always looking, if it's going to improve this hockey club, especially if they're going to continue to play the air right now, if this is going to continue, I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever if they tried to add a couple pieces.
All right. Winners 3 out of 4, 5 out of 6, I think, as well. And it's one thing, I guess, to beat Anaheim and Pittsburgh, Yorkie. And you mentioned the 3-0 win against Carolina, but this road trip, man, starting in Seattle tomorrow night, Calgary, Vancouver, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Minnesota.
Oh, this is it.
Dallas,
it's crunch time.
St. Louis and Detroit. Like, what is going on here? Why? I get it. World Juniors, right?
Yeah.
You're getting kicked out of your building, but this is truly make or break, as JB just alluded to.
I think so. Like, just go on this road trip and stay in the race. Don't play yourself out of the race. Easier said than done, because you got a lot of tough teams. So you're heading into Winnipeg, you're heading into Vancouver. Like, you got some tough games coming up. I'll tell you, I like how this team's playing right now. And I just hope when it's all said and done, guys, and the dust settles and you got your playoff team set, wouldn't it be great to see a Toronto-Ottawa series once again? Like, it's been too long. We need that. We need an Ottawa-Toronto.
You know, Yorkie, as we wake up this morning, the Leafs are in first in the Atlantic, and by points percentage, Ottawa's in the second wildcard spot. It could happen.
What a Christmas present that would be.
It would be awesome. It would be your thrill. I'm Sportsnet would also be delighted. Yeah. We didn't get to talk to you last week. What were your thoughts on Andlauer's soft tampering comments?
Soft tampering.
It's soft. It's tampering. Not real tampering.
It's just soft tampering. this is just my personal opinion. I think it goes back to, they talked about, well, they got punished the first round draft pick. It's like he came in, he bought the team. It's like, surprise, you're losing a first round draft pick.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, great. And I get it. And I actually like it because I live in this city. I understand this city. People here on Ottawa have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder and they want to protect it. And I like that Andlauer is standing up for the little guys.
Well,
so,
you know,
I got no issues with it.
Yeah. Listen, I think for sure it ties into the fact that they got ripped off a pick for sure off of the Pierre Dorion trade. But the other one too is that maybe Yorkie's taking one for the team a little bit in terms of not so much what other people think outside of it, but how it maybe felt Brady Tkachuk and his wife and any other player to say, I've got your back. I think, maybe it's a rallying point a little bit for the guys in the room.
That's a great point, Kipper. And I'll tell you this, with this team right now, the way the mood has changed, and that's all Andlauer. Like he's come in here and he lives in the community here. Like, he's bought a place, he lives here. Like, back when Melnick was here, like he would fly in and he wasn't part of the fabric of the community. So I know he gets it by coming in here, living here. He goes into the office every day at the rink, and he understands the city. He's out, he's going for dinner, he's talking to people. And I like it. Like, he's talking to the guys on the team. What do you guys need? What do we need to be better? What are you guys seeing? So it's like a we're in this together thing, Kipper, like you said. And I think players, especially today's player, I think they appreciate that. They get it. And I think it goes a long way.
Well, Yorkie, isn't it crazy then to look at what's happening in Buffalo with Terry Pegula, who a lot of Sabres fans have accused of basically abandoning them in favor of the Bills, who are obviously a money printing machine at this point. You know, do you look at the Sabres right now, you know, knowing where the Sens have been in the past, and just see how frustrating it is, and like, God, it's a long, long road back to the surface from there.
It's I'll tell you, just Ottawa has suffered for a long time with not making the playoffs. And then you say, okay, it's bad here. Look at Buffalo. What is it? 13 seasons. So yeah, I totally get that. But I'll tell you, just there's a different vibe going on in this city right now. And I mentioned being at the last game the other night, seeing the people. I'll tell you, biggest reasons, ownership, which we talked about, and it's been such a long time since they've had that legit goaltender like Linus Ullmark. And he, I don't know if you guys have saw the numbers lately, his save percentage in this little run they've gone on is off the charts. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's leading in a bunch of different categories. He's turned it around totally, guys, because he had that slow start. Now he's come out and he's playing like the Linus Ullmark everybody expected.
What is it you attribute it to? Just a focus thing for him? Just finally being acclimated to the surroundings? I didn't even say
acclimated.
That. There you go. Yeah. There you go. That's why he's here.
Is that it,
Yorkie?
He was battling an injury early on in the season, Kipper. And I think potentially he might have come back because you always want to get back. You're excited, new team. I just don't think he was 100% right away. The city, well, he came in here, he bought a house, and he moved into a neighborhood where all the guys were. So there is an adjustment there. I also think, too, the team's just playing better, too, in front of them. Like, they're not – like, before, early in the season, it was a little looser. Like, they've had games where they've given up – I think they held the Bruins one period to no shots in Boston. So I think it's a combination of Ullmark and how the team's playing. So it's a more predictable way of playing hockey that the Senators are doing right now, if that makes any sense. They're not giving up those huge chances all the time. It's just it's a better team system. And when they do break down, which all teams do, Ullmark's been there and he's been really good.
Well, we're having a moment where we can acknowledge that the Sens have good, solid ownership and elite star players, which is very nice to say. Let's beat up some other franchises. How about the Rangers, Yorkie?
What a mess,
eh? They started 12-4, and I think, what are they, below 500? No, they're 15-14-1 now. What a mess.
So we were talking about this today on our show on the pod this morning. I don't like the mix of their top players. And if you look around the top teams in the league, their best players are usually their hardest workers. We just talked about Stützle, how hard he's working right now. You look at Colorado, how hard Nathan MacKinnon works. You look at Mark Stone. Like, these guys are all 200-foot players. Crosby. Like, Crosby at whatever he is, 36 right now, he's still tracking back. He's still in the right place. He's still on top of the puck. I just find when I watch the Rangers, guys, too many of their star players, like a Panera and like a Zibanejad, great players, talented players, but they're not 200-foot players.
So on one hand, we got the New York Rangers and Chris Drury putting names out there available, mm-hmm. all the stars, guys walking in, perhaps feeling like they're on eggshells. Today, Frank Saravelli reporting that Pegula goes into the Buffalo dress room and basically says that not to expect anything. We're status quo here and everything's fine. No problem. Don't feel bad. Yeah. Let's go. So, Yorkie, where is that fine line in the middle for you?
I thought you were going to say he came into the dressing room and just blasted everybody and said, you guys are getting a lump of coal this year for Christmas.
He's cashing those Bills checks. No, he's like, whatever, we're fine.
He told them no big trades. No big trades coming.
Oh, boy, yeah. I don't know. Like, when you look at Buffalo's roster on paper, they've got some good players. Like, they've got some real good young defensemen. They got some nice prospects up front. They got forwards with size. Like, I really like Alex Tuck as a player. It's tough to put a finger on it. Like, is their goaltending good enough? Probably not. Like, let's start there. Like, look around the NHL. Show me good teams, usually, right? We'll show you a good goalie. Mm-hmm. They pretty well go hand in hand, right?
But, you know, the thing that, to me, is separating Ottawa right now from some of these teams, and I'll give you another one here, Detroit, is high-end guys. Like, if you're only as good as your best players, you look at the guys in the Cup Finals over recent years, it's all Barkov and Tkachuk and McDavid and Draisaitl and MacKinnon and his crew. You know, like, you just, like, what's Detroit's ceiling for you? You know, we watched them beat the Leafs this weekend, but it's like, are they really going to get there with Larkin and Raymond as their best players?
Yeah, I really like Detroit's coach, by the way. I think he's a good guy, smart coach. I think he's one of the smartest guys in the game. I loved him when they had him on in the playoffs that year, too. He looked like a supervillain there when they had him on. He was great.
Right.
Again, like, I love Dylan Larkin as a player, but I look after Dylan Larkin, I just, there's something to be said about having elite game breakers on your team. I just think it's the tough to put a finger on, guys. It's just, when I look at the Detroit Red Wings, I'm not sure what their identity is. Like, what kind of team are they?
For sure.
What do they do? They're just kind of one of those teams right now for me that's kind of in the murky middle. And I don't know what they are. And that's probably why they are where they are right now. It's because they're really a team with not much of an identity.
Hey, we didn't really get a chance to say this, but the reunion of the pizza line in Ottawa... seeing them all together, Alfredson, Heatley, and Jason Spezza, that was kind of fun.
They should have had you out there with them, Yorkie.
I went down and said hi to the boys in the box there, went to see the Heater. That was the Heater's first time back in the building, too. And he was pretty, Danny was pretty candid, too, about coming back. And they said, well, you haven't been back in a long time. And he's like, well, nobody invited me.
Is that right?
Oh, guaranteed.
He was just like, what do you want me to do? Just show up? Like, you have to care about your alumni.
He goes, I've been waiting for my invite for a long time. And it kind of goes what I was talking about. Like, Michael Andlauer strolls in the town and says, you know what? Let's start re-engaging our alumni. Let's start making our history important. Let's bring back Danny Heatley and welcome this guy into our building. I think it was great. And Jason Spezza showed up. They had a nice moment at center ice. They put him in a nice private box. But people, you guys, Kipper, you know this. Guys around the league talk. How well does this team treat their alumni? Are these guys first class or not? There's some teams I play for I've never gotten a call in my life. They don't even know I exist. But when the Ottawa Senators are doing things differently now, fellas, and it's starting at the top. Like, he's that to me just was a real classy move. And Danny said that. He's like, hey, I got invited back by Mr. Andlauer. That's why I came back. And we'll give Ian Mendez a little credit too, guys. I think he might have had his fingerprints on this one as well.
Sharp guy.
Yeah. I just know that.
I took him under my wing here at Sportsnet, Yorkie. I want you to know that.
Back in the day, eh?
Tell him that.
I'll tell him.
Well, like, as good as your team is currently, you still have to be in touch with your past. I know it was a big thing with the Islanders, and my dad's alumni group, Milbury, came in there, took the pictures off the wall, and, you know, all of a sudden it's going to be the new era Islanders, and they didn't. No one went back for 15 years. Now they lean way into it.
I don't want to.
It's 100.
Go ahead, Yorkie.
It's 100%. It's 100%, Kipper. Like, you go around Toronto, Dougie Gilmore, Wendell Clark, these guys are still enshrined in the tradition, and it just helps sell your brand. And that's something I'll give you a great example here in Ottawa. One of the first things Michael Andlauer did when he came in, our box used to be way up in the 400 level. It's 400 level, still not bad seats, but he's like, you know what? I want these guys lower so people can see them. So they're out, they're walking around. You can move the box down. And it's been just little things like that make a huge difference.
That's cool.
Yeah, I don't want to embarrass any team right now. But I will tell you, an organization that's been around a long time offers their alumni a discount on drinks when they come to the game.
No way, a discount?
A discount on drinks.
Stop it.
10% off?
That's all I'll say.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, yeah. So we still...
Is it the Hartford Whalers? Because that would make sense.
No, we still got some work to do to acknowledge... players of the past.
Come on, Kipper. Who's this?
No.
What are you talking about?
No. Stop it, Yorkie. Right.
We'll do the math here, Borny. Well, Kipper's not there. I don't think it's Toronto.
Yeah, it definitely isn't. One thing I know about, working for Sportsnet and Rogers, coming here and embarrassing Toronto is not going to do us any good. So it's not going to be Toronto, I tell you that.
Yorkie, great stuff, cheers, buddy. Really appreciate your time. Happy holidays, all right? All the best to you and your family.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Thanks for having me, guys. Anytime.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Yorkie. Appreciate it.
That is Jason York. Always great stuff out of him.
Do you get a bill in the mail? Or it's like a 407 bill. Just like shows up. Three Coronas.
Interesting. Just to kind of put a bow on the Buffalo Sabres here. And, you know, Pegula and going in there. I'm not sure that that's completely the answer either, to reinforce everybody. Like, you know, no one's going anywhere. We got the answer in this room. I mean, I'm not saying that you got to go super hard, but there has to be something in the middle there that tells everybody this is unacceptable. You just can't feel like, win or lose, there's a paycheck and booze.
You know, I can't help but think. So we've been watching the Leafs be competitive for 7 years now, you know, usually finishing second, third in their division. And I look at the Sabres lineup and I go, where would this guy fit in if they were on the Leafs? And it's a lot of third line players. So it's tough to blame the coach, easier to blame the GM maybe, but I don't really know what they're supposed to do, because what he said, that the answers are in this room, the answers are not in this room. It's Zach Benson, Paterka, you know, Quinn, Cousins, Greenway, Kulich, Zucker. Like, I don't know. That's not going to win you enough games to make playoffs and contend. So they do need to do something.
I mean, their best offensive player yesterday was a guy that was out of the lineup for five games prior.
Yes.
Kind of tells the story, right?
It tells you something.
Yeah, it tells you something. Same thing. Your goaltender hadn't played in what? He's called up from the AHL. Yeah. Stuck him in there. Like, again, you can easily find reasons as to why they're in that position.
And they probably, you know, they need everyone. They can't be without Rasmus Dahlin. But the division's, not that they're even in a great division, man. They got work to do. You know what I would like to see them do, sorry?
What's
stuff
that?
Like St. Louis getting Cam Fowler. Try to win now. Yeah. Go get Trouba. Like, you need to try to win hockey games.
The Greenway giveaway. Like, I've probably had, you know, two or three of those, like, in my career. And every single one of them, I just wanted to die.
Well, and they always end up in your net.
He had the natural, God, I screwed up reaction.
Yeah.
But I don't know if people truly know what that feels like when you give up the puck like that.
And you're a winger, you're kind of helpless just watching it in your D zone, like, don't let this come back to me. Don't let this come back to me. It's like when you take a bad penalty and you're in the box, you're just like, oh.
Oh, without a doubt. You got a little game time for us there, Disco?
Yes, indeed, Kipper. It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Play responsibly. So three games in the NHL tonight, including Stanley Cup final rematch.
Ooh,
the Panthers in Edmonton to take on the Oilers. The Panthers plus 105 on the money line. The Oilers minus 125. Favorites on the money line. Washington in Dallas, the Stars favorite in that one, minus 155. And Colorado on the road against Vancouver, coming off a bit of a stinker on Saturday night. They are favored, the Avalanche, that is, minus 135 against the Canucks.
Personally, when
I look at the three games, I kind of like Edmonton. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the Oilers at home in this matchup. And I'm actually going to reference something that Matthew Tkachuk said earlier today when he was talking about playing in a Stanley Cup final rematch. He referenced how he was so angry last year when they played Vegas. Mm-hmm. They played Vegas twice, beat them twice. And so I'm going to follow that same trend of being angry when you have to play against the team that beat you in the Cup final. And I'm going to say Edmonton tonight, I don't mind them on the money line at minus 125, paying a little bit of that price to get them at home against Florida.
Here is Florida's goals for in the last four games. 3 for the win, 2 for the win, 0 for the loss, 0 for the loss. So they're struggling to score goals right now. Oilers, I saw there's an article on our website about the Oilers saying that they don't care about this whole, they beat them last year. They don't care. It's just another game. What do you think? Just another
game? You lagging the juice, huh?
No.
Not another game.
Not another game.
No.
They beat you in game 7. Game 7 by a goal. So, yes, I like the Edmonton bet.
By the way, Barkov, sort of questionable tonight. I know Paul Maurice said he's quote-unquote hopeful that he'll play, but he did not skate today.
An injured Barkov would really help.
That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Play responsibly.
God, the energy you brought on that thing was unbelievable.
Oh, thank you, Kipper.
Like, all-time high.
Yeah.
Like, and we got even angry you a little bit.
It's refreshing.
Right? Usually we just get sad. Sad, Sammy.
The Leafs will probably lose by 3. Because they always do.
Oh, I'm kidding. So fun to beat up when he's not here.
I know.
Isn't
he
it?
Can't defend himself.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we return, we get into a little bit more of this Stanley Cup final rematch. We got a little sound from a Tkachuk. More when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne. Let's go, Dan. Franceschi in for Sammy McKee. All right, as we said before the break, Panthers face the Oilers for the first time since the Stanley Cup final. This one is a prime Amazon game, right, of the week?
Yeah.
Correct.
Pretty good one.
Good. Real good. If you're not going to get the Leafs in there, it's as good as it gets. I'm just talking ratings-wise.
What do you expect? Like, Florida,
yeah.
They're coming off a tough loss where they didn't score. They didn't have their captain. Florida seems one night they look like they're ready to defend their championship. The next night they're like, eh.
Yeah. Let me tell you who the Oilers have beat their last three games. The Vegas Golden Knights, the Minnesota Wild, and the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
They're playing pretty well.
They are playing well, and Skinner's playing really well, and Darnell Nurse is playing as well as we've seen him in a long time.
They look good.
He looks good.
And, I mean, it's not that hard to see this Oilers team. I saw something the other day about, people not believing in the Oilers. Well, how many people at Sportsnet picked him to win the Cup?
Well, I think it was everybody but two.
It was like 20 analysts and 17 or 18 picked the Oilers to win the Cup. So this is what we saw. I was one of them. This team looks like that team that can win a Stanley Cup. They just feel less pressure-filled and more like themselves. I don't know. So, yeah, I can see them, a little frustrated tonight taking it to Florida pretty good. But I think it actually hurts them that Florida's lost the last two games because they're a prideful bunch and they got a good coach.
All right, let's go to Matthew Tkachuk on facing the Edmonton Oilers.
I was pretty angry playing against Vegas for the first time last year. I mean, there's nothing you can do about the year before, obviously, but you want to, they took away your dream, basically. So I remember that was a very hard-fought game, to say the least, against Vegas last year. So I expect tonight will be a very, very, very intense game with a lot of physicality. I mean, they got a lot of speed and skill, but I'm sure this one's going to be a pretty intense one.
I would expect the same.
Yep.
Reasonable.
100%.
Kind of tough. No, sorry. Like, if you're the Panthers and they, the other team really wants to get mad and make it physical and whatever, and it's like, we won the cup already, man. And go ahead. Go wild. We also have the coach on the intensity. Interested in hearing Paul Maurice?
Are we allowed to play him without Sammy here? Because Sammy...
I think we should play him extra without Sammy. Because he hates him so much.
Well. All right. Let's go to Paul Maurice on his thoughts.
82 games, it can be a bit of a grind. And finding that energy every night is a challenge. And the good teams find it, but they've got some structure and they've got good players. So they win enough games. But these games aren't the same as the other, I don't think. We'll talk about the fact we don't like our last two games. They'll talk about, they're playing great right now. But these games are different. The intensity level in any team that we've played in the playoffs the last 2 years has just been higher for both teams.
Do you think this Florida Panthers team can do it again? Do you think they're good enough?
Yeah, I think the hole left between Montour and Ekman-Larsson is substantial. I am not a Nate Schmidt fan.
No?
No.
Just stylistically?
I think we've seen him in Winnipeg. We've seen him in Vegas. Did he have a pit stop in Vancouver?
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
He likes to go, go, go.
I'm watching him a few nights where I don't know if he closed gaps well enough.
Yeah.
And that's where I think, again, the loss between two substantial NHL top four or five guys at a championship level has been hard for Paul Maurice's club to overcome.
It looks like they're going to scratch Adam Boqvist, and Schmidt will play. So he's in tonight. Yeah, I mean, he's 33 years old,
yep.
Right? He's been a great player, and, well, he's been a very good player in the league. And I don't know that any team with real cup aspirations has him playing, you know, 18 minutes a night.
And the other one, I'll let you go.
I was going to say, that's the key, though. I actually think when you look at both of these teams, it's interesting because the parallel of the blue line being a bit of an issue, it exists for both teams, right? Like Edmonton, and I looked this up earlier today because we all remember slow start last year from November, I think it was 12th onwards, best winning percentage in the NHL, right?
Yeah.
This year, almost an identical script. Like since November 18th, they have the third best winning percentage in the NHL. It's 731.
Yeah.
But still, I don't think if we look at it sort of, and we're being honest, both of these teams, there are no illusions that they are good enough, but if they upgrade the blue line, they can both certainly be right back where they were a year ago.
Yeah.
But short of that, odds are it's going to be a very challenging road, I find, for both of these teams.
It does seem like a good year for either team to take a big swing. Like,
yeah.
You know, whatever is available at the deadline, right? Like if you're Florida in particular, you got to strike while the iron's hot.
And for the record, we're seldom honest on this show.
If we're being honest.
If you're going to use that phrase, you got to use it on another show. If we're being honest.
Doesn't work here.
We always speak in hyperbole, and we don't tell the truth.
The other thing that sticks out for me for Florida as well is just Bobrovsky has not had a level of consistency either, and I don't know what his save percentage is. I haven't brought it up here, but I don't know if you have it right there, but it's – there's some nights when he kind of looks like old, new, old.
Yeah, old.
Bob.
Middle Bob.
Middle.
I will say, Bob. You know, when I sort the 5-on-5 save percentage by goaltending, like just goaltending, so not Bob specifically, Florida's fifth worst in the NHL. So they're not getting saves, and we talked about Ottawa earlier. Suddenly they look better when they get saves. Funny how that happens. You probably have Bob now.
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't. My computer crushed up.
You're all good.
Classic. That's a Sammy move right there.
At all strengths, they're fifth worst in the league. So big difference.
All right. Just a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Vancouver. What did you make out of the Boston Bruin game where they kind of handed them their lunch? And Brad Marchand kind of got the last laugh a little bit.
Can't boo Marchand, eh?
Taunting the crowd with the old, I can't hear you or I can hear you, one of the two.
Right. Yeah, I get a kick out of this Canucks team. It's they have a lot of potential, but it does feel like Tocchet is having a harder time squeezing that out of them this year. Like, they can get to these great heights, but they have some real stinker performances too. They're a very strange team to me, and it feels like there's a lot going on behind the scenes that
– yep.
Maybe we're not sure about. We do have a Tocchet clip on the Canucks lacking emotional pushback. Why don't we get to that now and chat about it? Let's Tocchet clip.
We have, let's face facts, four or five guys. They're struggling. They're struggling to get emotionally invested in the game, and that's my job to get these guys. Still, certain guys, we gotta find another gear from them. They gotta understand that it's the NHL, and you can't play one good game and then two bad. This is a game, a sport, the NHL, where you have to be jacked up to play the game. You have to be emotionally in the game. And sometimes the guys are, takes them like 30 minutes to get in the game for whatever reason.
Wow.
It's pretty dramatic.
I mean, he's getting one of the most jacked up guys back in the lineup in Miller.
Yeah.
Is he not? Like, that guy leads the league in, I think, jacked up emotion.
Jacked upness. Yeah, I mean, they are, listen, they're a 600 winning percentage team this year. They just got Thatcher Demko back. Miller is coming back. Like, Besser had missed time earlier in the year.
So who's he talking about?
Petey.
You think?
Are we allowed to talk about Petey?
Well, Elliot traded him to the Buffalo Sabres.
Petey's like Nylander, where, like, if you mention him, a certain section of the fan base, no matter what you say, it's like you cannot criticize this man.
You're not going to get emotional Petey. I mean, are you?
I don't know.
Are you kind of excluding him and you're talking to others?
I don't know. Is it you're allowed to ask for emotion, I think. What did you say about Elliot trading him?
Elliot had a dream, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, little epiphany. A little hypothetical trade. Yeah,
and he's got that market kind of uproar. Yeah, on his podcast, he mentioned Pettersson to Buffalo for Byram.
Yep, Bowen Byram and Dylan Cousins.
And to be clear, this was not a report. This was him being like, would that
Well, work? If it happens, then he's going to say I reported it. And if it doesn't happen, then it was just off the top of my head.
Right.
Right, he's covered. That's what the insiders do.
A little from column A, a little from column B. It is interesting because, like, the Sabres so badly have to do something. And the very thing I said in this hour, I think, is that they just don't have the elite top-end guys to build around. Like, Thompson's great, and then Dahlin, you're not loving power. You throw EP40 in the mix.
I wouldn't make this trade if I'm Vancouver at all.
For Cousins and Byram?
But you would?
I like it.
You do?
Really?
I think Cousins is 23 years old.
He is,
He has a 30-goal season under his belt, if I'm not mistaken. He's under contract for a long time, and he's a worker bee, you know, very much in the Tocket mold. Byram has high upside. I know that he's not going to be Quinn Hughes, though. Hughes is going to play power play one.
I don't know
one.
How good he's going to be either.
Yeah, you don't love Byram.
Well, Colorado, kind of a good, smart team.
Yeah.
Why would they just...
I will say,
get rid of him.
When there's multiple teams that are like, someone else can have this, you worry.
Yeah, you do worry.
You worry for sure when a guy's available and he's young and talented, and it's like, why?
Yeah.
Why is he available again?
Because they want to trade him at the apex value.
Right.
That's what it is. It's the perception of trading him at his peak a little bit too early, but then in hindsight, it'll look pretty beneficial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the teams know first. I've seen that enough being around teams where they're like, this guy ain't.
And are we convinced that Miller and Pettersson are just they're going to be Vancouver Canucks for the next 2 or 3 years?
Well, if Pettersson isn't, probably increases the odds that Miller is.
Mm-hmm. Or vice versa.
Right.
But, that you get
but
rid
if
of
you
Miller.
Were to pick a horse to ride and you're Rick Tocchet and Jim Rutherford, we know what type of horse they would pick.
But this is where Miller's left everybody with such... unanswered, questions. Like, okay, does he want to stay long term? Are you okay? Do you want to go back to the States? What's going on here? So I would think that Petey, off of his recent signing, is more committed long term than what I don't know about Miller.
Hmm. You know what stands out to me, guys, as it relates to Pettersson? There was a show, actually, I think it was maybe May or June we were doing, and I was filling in for Sammy as well, but we actually talked about Pettersson exit interview with the Canucks where he mentioned, I need to get away from all this, right? Where he kind of like was really, really hypersensitive to the idea of noise being out there. That stuff sticks with you, right? Like it says something about the type of personality he is. And in the right environment, Bourne, I think you're right on. Like, very similar to Willie in that respect. In the right situation, can be a chameleon, right? You just embrace and admire all the skill and talent. You forget about the other stuff. Yeah. But when you need to lean on that guy to be the guy or one of the top dogs, a little bit of a different story at times.
He was leaned on pretty heavy to sign that contract when he did, and he did well for himself. Jason Brough, who we have on the show from Halford and Brough, a great tweet is, my anxious Canucks fan brain just led me to the buyout calculator for Dylan Cousins. already seeing like the trade happen and it goes wrong, and how do we solve this?
The other one in the equation is Brock Besser. I've had him on my Sportsnet.ca intriguing list.
Rather move him and keep Petey.
So he's also in play. I don't know if you guys caught Jimmy Rutherford with Ray Ferraro and Scott Oak on After Hours, but he brought up Brock Besser's situation and really non-committal either way.
Yeah.
Not reinforcing that we'd like to keep him or we want him.
So not Don Waddell on Olivier?
No.
By the way, we had Olivier, or him on our show. What'd he say? He said, that guy's not going anywhere.
He ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
didn't get that out of Jimmy Rutherford on Brock Besser. So there's another piece that could fit in with changing the makeup substantially of the team.
I don't believe, without
you know, moving on Miller or Petey.
I don't believe that they would trade Miller or Petey purely because the guys don't get along great. Like, that's not the end of the world. I'm sure you had some teammates that you didn't love, but, you know, you're 20-some guys. You don't have to sit by them at dinner. You don't have to go out with them.
Okay, I don't know. Again, I'm not talking specifics mm-hmm. on Miller and Petey and their scenario.
You're talking about...
But I'm saying that if one player has problems with one player, then there's a chance that multi players have trouble.
Do they line up an army behind
one player?
Yeah.
So it's not just we're moving somebody out because he's pissed off one person.
You're moving someone out because he's a problem.
Because there's probably more than one player that kind of feels the same way about a particular player. And again, I am not talking about Petey versus Miller or the Vancouver Canucks versus Miller. I am saying in general, I've been in dressing rooms, when we know a certain guy's a tough egg in the room, it's usually because he's upset more than one guy. Mm-hmm. That's, I don't know if that helps you or not.
It does help me a lot. Yeah, because it does make sense. It's, you know, I had asked someone about Miller's situation, who not that they knew about it, but just when players go through a hard time off the ice, and I asked them about burnout, and this person's fairly versed in this sort of thing, and they said, it's never just burnout, right? There's always something else that triggers it. There's an event. There's whatever. It works with your point that it's never just one guy. These things that come out that it's like, oh, it's burnout. Oh, these delicate. There's always behind the scenes a whole flowering issue from this one that gets brought forward for the rest of us to see. So that would be interesting.
Well, plenty of intriguing storylines in Vancouver, man.
32% of Canucks fans, according to Bruff's poll, would do Cousins and Byram for Petey. Yeah. 68 say hell no.
I will say this, though, that, you know, Petey signs that 8-year deal. This is the only window that has no move doesn't kick in, right?
Oh.
So keep that in mind. That
it's in mind.
If Vancouver ever entertained the thought of trading Petey, they would have to do it by March. Because...
Would you like a mercurial center?
I shouldn't say that. They'd have to trade him by...
All over again.
I have to rephrase that. They would have to trade him to have an effect on this season. Meaning that they could trade him in the summer. They could trade him at the draft.
Okay.
They could trade him up until July 1st when his no move kicks in.
Right.
And the reason why he didn't get a no move is because he wasn't eligible. He was too young to get it on the first year of this deal.
The Canucks have this window.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. So. Well, that is something to keep an eye on.
All right. What else you got?
Well, we had our games for tonight. There's actually not much time left here, Kip, to dig too much. Do you want to talk? Let's talk about the games tonight. Florida, Edmonton.
That's the prediction. I think Edmonton's feeling it right now, and I think there's still some question marks on Florida.
We got Washington, Dallas.
Washington, Dallas.
Washington, Dallas.
When are we going to really start believing in Washington, guys?
I'm not going to really do it. Good.
No, you are.
No?
I'm not
you
in.
You are.
Really?
No. Dallas, and absolutely.
Dylan Strome's turning himself into a nice, really nice player. Dare I say, all-star caliber.
He's having a great year, and even in the absence of Ovi, has done a good job of continuing to produce offense. Your boy Chychrun's doing well there, too. But still, I got Dallas tonight.
Bounce back for Vancouver in the late one against Colorado.
Yeah. I think Taco.
Yeah. Too much of an angle on Saturday.
He'll get him going.
Like the abs.
Okay, our thanks to Gord Stellick in the first hour and Jason York at the top of the hour. Hey, who's kidding who? The focus is on the Stanley Cup rematch. Enjoy it. Enjoy your game. And we're right back here tomorrow. Now, where is our Sammy going to make a cameo appearance on our show?
We'll see if he gets hung up at customs or not on the way back.
Boy, that... Josh Allen looks good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, they scored 48 points, and he said they left a few out there after the game.
MVP.
If I'm Pegula, I forget I own the Sabres, too. Enjoy your night, everybody. We're back tomorrow on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.